Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Nick and worship team, for just bringing us to a place of just sensing God. So important. I don't know about you, but there are times if I have come to a place where I'm just not sensing Him, it's a bit unnerving. Doesn't leave you feeling all too confident. But when God is near and God is present, it makes all the difference. I'm sure many of you can relate to that. This morning I want to talk to you about debt. Not in the way that that you might be thinking. Interestingly enough, I got an email from one of our members who's a CPA, Certified Public Accountant. And it was almost like I was taken back to another time when I was talking to my brother. My brother was also a CPA. And man, they speak a language that they might as well be speaking in tongues. Because I don't understand the lingo. But in any case, my brother was going to bring all kinds of literature and books and things to kind of break down some of the jargon and the understanding to how one pays off the debts. But that's not where we're going today. But I do want to touch upon the reality of debt in our lives. And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but I'm sure most of us at some time or another have felt the pressure of debt, the weight of debt, where you had a bill, an outstanding bill that for one reason or another you just couldn't pay. You know, maybe you just got socked with one bill after another, a car repair, a medical bill. The electric has to be paid, the rent is up, the mortgage is due, whatever it is. I mean, you can start to feel the weight, and it can be so oppressing because you're haunted and you feel hunted by phone calls and mailings and reminders that you owe. And if you don't, the penalty is going to be worse. And things seem to get worse and worse and worse if those things are not taken care of. It's an offense in some respects, a transgression, a trespass, and it just can wear you down, at the very least distract you from what's really important in life. And in many respects today, sometimes we just get put in a place where it's unescapable, or inescapable, I should say. I think it's tough on young people who want to go to college, who were not able to put away, who maybe his parents were not able to help out and put monies away. And then they have to take loans, only for those loans to be paid after they've gone through their education. And instead of engaging in life and starting to build up equity and kind of planning out their future, they're encumbered with all this debt. And it really takes the wind out of their sails in getting started in their lives. You know, so, and I really think that in many respects there is a force out there that that just does a great business out of seeking after and making sure all these debts are. And then you have, on the other hand, another business that's come up that's helped consolidate such debts and help people to pay them off. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, it still has to be paid off, no matter how you cut it. Well, even though it's unavoidable and unescapable and the pressure can be great, there's always a way out. Now, I really do believe that God knows quite often the weight of debt. Nothing is missed by His hands. And if you think that God is too busy to care about when we are under financial debt, then you're wrong. Because God cares about every little aspect of our lives. In fact, as I was going and through my prayer time this week, there was a caption in my prayer journal from Peter Marshall's wife, Catherine Marshall. And Peter Marshall was a chaplain to the Senate back around the days of Eisenhower. Really great guy. If you ever get an opportunity to rent or watch the movie A Man Called Peter, it's dated, but it's so worth watching. Well, his wife was an incredible individual. And she wrote and they put the caption in my prayer journal about how God being involved in every little aspect of our lives kind of touches on what Pastor John shared this morning. That, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, we're nothing, you know, but that's not our names. Well, sometimes we think that because sometimes we can tend to kind of cross over and think, you know, God's not interested in the small parts of my life. I want to tell you, if there's something weighing on you today, something that's really heavy on your heart, you might think it's small before God, but it matters to God because you matter to God. And so she wrote in this little caption about how God is interested even in the small things. And that if we were to cut him out and only make him a part of the big things, we would be excluding him from a great portion of our lives. And that's the last thing God wants to do, is be excluded. So I say all that to say is that I want to read, go to a snapshot, not the whole story, not the whole parable, not the whole matter that Jesus was addressing, but a snapshot of the parable of the servant that was just incredibly unkind to another servant, right? And when we go to Matthew 18 this morning, I want you to think about this. Matthew 18, we're going to read two verses, 23 to 25. The highlight on just the magnitude that Jesus puts on the matter of debt here in this short story. He touches on that, and he kind of emphasizes and magnifies the weight in which the individual that he is addressing is feeling. Now, in verse 23, Jesus goes to say, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in whom owed him millions of dollars." Millions. I know it's hard. Because if you're like me, I don't know if there's anybody here who even owns $1 million. But think about the weight of owing that much money to someone. The burden, the impossibility of thinking how you could get out from underneath that. Tremendous weight, crushing. Well, he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. I always get a kick out of if I'm watching something on PBS that talks about like around the times when you owed something and if you couldn't owe, you get thrown into debtor's prison. And I often scratch my head and go, okay, so you're throwing him into debtor's prison, but how in the world from debtor's prison is he going to ever be able to pay back that loan? You know, so I never figured that one out, but. Imagine the pressure and the weight that is felt in owing millions. And not only is it affecting you, but now it's going to affect your entire family, your wife, your children. Life as you knew it is going. It's gone. It's over. And how devastating is that? How devastating is that? What a crushing blow. Such reality is too much to take and to bear. And so it was for this gentleman, for this debtor, this servant. Because we look at verses 26 to 27, and we find out this. But the man fell down. I'm surprised he didn't have a massive coronary. He fell down before his master and he begged him, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it all." And then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and he forgave him of his debt. Forgave him of his debt. One minute he is just about to be crushed in this vice. And he's released. And he's freed. You know, today there is such a thing as called debt consolidation, right? I mentioned it briefly a moment ago, where you have companies that will bundle up all your debts, and instead of paying these enormous interest rates, they will bundle it up together, and make your installments more affordable. Stretch it out, take some of the weight off. You're not completely free, but they're helping you, in a sense, carry the load, or at least making it manageable in your heart and mind to be able to deal with it and go forward. But you still have to pay. There's still some cost involved here. But wouldn't it be great if somebody came out with a debt annihilation? Right? You know how you're familiar with the movies The Terminator? Imagine you come up with a movie, The Annihilator. Bring your debts to him and he will destroy them. And he'll look at you and say, they will not be back. Destroyed, done away with, gone, vanquished, never to be seen again. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't think there's anyone in this room or any of us that would say, you know what I want to do tomorrow is I want to go into debt. I just feel like I want to do this. You know? I've heard about it. I've seen people do it, but I've never experienced it, and I want to go and do it. None of us would say that. But as life can be sometimes, we could find ourselves in such a position. Well, imagine being born into it. Like maybe the children that are mentioned in this parable of Jesus's. Born into a situation, into a circumstance where you had this thing, this cloud hanging over you. How could it be erased? Take it to the debt annihilator. And he could do away with it, take it out and crush it and remove it. You see, in essence, that is what God has done for us. Has he not? None of us ever said, you know, I want to be born into a world of sin. We were just born. But when we were born into this world. And we're all born into, as the theologians talk about, original sin. We all carry that mark. But we have, in its essence, met the debt annihilator. The one who, regardless of what that sin is, regardless of how heavy the debt is, whether it's a few thousand dollars or $5 million or trillions of dollars, can vanquish it, wipe it away, erase it, make it no more, make it as if it never existed. And isn't that a wonderful thing? In fact, a very familiar portion of Scripture that we so often like to quote really speaks to the annihilation of that, right? Look at John chapter 3. And the familiar portion of Scriptures of verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The debt annihilator. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. You kind of get a sense, and if we haven't visited that, we need to revisit what God has done for us. How much he has truly taken off our plate. His presence, his touch, his life upon ours, that has taken the burden of anything that we have ever done or could do, gone. Simply by his presence in our lives. Simply by having someone to go to who can clean the slate. Any day of the week, any month of the year, any year of the decade. There isn't anything beyond his reach to free us. You can feel the weight come off. That's what Jesus was saying. Your debt is paid. The man's millions were gone. He didn't owe it anymore. He was free. The debt was gone. And now his life was refreshed. Kind of hit the refresh button on your web page. get unstuck, be free. When was the last time you kind of thought about the weight that could be, but is no longer? There's something to it. It's refreshing. It breeds life. And what are we to do with that life? Well, look at Romans 13:8 with me. Because Paul gives us a way to take what has been given to us, this debt annihilation, and live out our lives. And this is what he says. Let no debt remain outstanding. Now, at that time, in the context, he was talking to believers in Rome, and he was trying to instruct them about being good God children. Make sure your slate is clean, pay off your debts, honor and respect the authorities over you. And by the way, the only debt that you should ever owe is this. Accept the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Anything that could ever be broken, anything that needed to be fulfilled and sometimes we fail to fulfill, can all be fulfilled if we just live in paying the debt of love by loving one another. God has freed us so that we can be free now to go free others in essence. Now, I don't know, maybe you have sensed, and I have in my many words over the past couple of weeks, how I have been stressing and trying to point us in a direction of taking our lives and sharing it and giving it away to others. And that's what's in my heart to share with you, because I believe that's what God has put there. But I realized this week as I was praying for you, praying for myself, that unless we embrace the experience of Christ in our lives, if we go back and reflect on his touch and dwell on that, we might not get it, no matter how much I get up here and share and speak to you. Because in this short 15, 20 to 30 minutes is not enough. The time that we go and we spend with God and reflecting on his presence in our lives and what he has done for us is what is necessary to live in that overwhelming understanding that God has changed our lives, that he has forgiven us, that he has made a difference in lives that God only knows where we would be without him. When we carry that with us, that overwhelming understanding, then we say, oh God, what should I do with this? What should I do with this? Now, I'm not getting into the rest of that story that Jesus was telling, but only if the one who was forgiven millions would have taken time to reflect on that, he might have treated his fellow servant differently, who owed him maybe just a couple of $1,000s. But instead, he caught up with them and he wringed his neck and said, you're going to pay me that money. Obviously, there was a disconnect. And I think we, a part of the family of God, need to be mindful of the possible disconnect that can take place in our lives. Because what we have is to be given away. What we are, what we have is to be expressed and lived out towards others. The freedom that God has granted us is to be conveyed and shared with many others. And that is the opportunity that we have as we go from day to day in our faith to live out, to pay back debt of love. Now, think about it this way. God has annihilated every sin, every debt that we could ever have with him. And all he's asked us to do is to consider another debt. But it really is not this burden that we would make it out to be when we use the word debt. We should have like kind of a new kind of angle on that term and what it means. Something that would actually motivate us to do good, to love our neighbors, to have an impact on someone else's life. But at times we have to be careful that we might perceive it as an inconvenience and a burden. Obviously, I would think the guy who was freed of millions when he got his friend, his fellow servant who owed him thousands, probably thought, you know, I could use that. My life would be better. I'm inconvenienced without that money he owes me. Let me go after it instead of freeing him from it. We have an opportunity each and every day to be inconvenienced, to be interrupted, to be set off from our agenda because God has brought someone in our path who needs to be cared for and loved. Maybe just needs to have a conversation. Someone who will actually listen to them and understand where they're at in their lives. Who would have empathy and compassion. And wouldn't it be nice at that moment if we could consider that debt of love placed before us, an opportunity to free them, to touch them just the way God has freed and touched us. To express to them the very thing that God has done for us and do it for them. What an impact it could be, it could make. See, I really do believe that that's what it means to let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love one another for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. See, what we would like, I would like to do for a moment is go back to John and look at verse 18. Because where 16 and 17 are a breath of fresh air, we cannot ignore exactly what Jesus had to say right after that. And he says this, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Can you get a sense of why we need to pay that continual debt of love to our neighbor? Because, like the guy who owed thousands, they are in debt also. And wouldn't it have been nice for the guy for millions to say, would have said to him, listen, I just got forgiven for millions. My debt is gone. And I am so free that since I've been given these millions, I'm going to let you go for the thousands. Because I don't even need your thousands now. I have a new leaf on life. I got my life back in my possession. I'm free. I can live. I'm going to have my family that's still going to be with me. I'm not going to be thrown into prison. I'll still have my home. All the blessings realized could have blessed the other servant, could have set him free because he was set free. And that's what God has done for you and I. He has set us free. And every opportunity, every person that we come across is an opportunity to give what God has given us to someone else. To share the love of God with them. To express the goodness of God through our very lives. Because this is what God has done. To live like the servant whom Jesus said, the one who is freed from much, forgiven much, loves much. And I want to ask you, how much has God forgiven you for? It's none of my business. That's between you and him, unless you were to share your testimony with me. And I got to tell you, I have talked to some of you at length, and what tremendous testimonies are in this house. I'm looking forward to next Thanksgiving service, where we can share some of those. If you're brave enough to do it. But what has God forgiven you for? What has God freed you? What has he changed in your lives since coming to know him? What? Because the more you can reflect on that, you start to feel the weight of your life before God and saying, oh, man. And the more I can put on the scale, and trust me, I can put a lot on that scale, that will tilt it down and maybe even snap the arm of the scale of all the things that God has forgiven me for and freed me from, it just propels me to love my neighbor. I think God has literally used that in calling me to ministry. Because I know what I was. And I know what God has done and is still doing. And so at the very least, I want to go and to give and to share and to be with others so that they too can experience God's touch on their lives. And I guess maybe it's easier for me because I've been forgiven for so much, and I just can't help but love him. And I can't help but want to love others. Because it's not all about me. It's about what God has done in me, what Christ has done for me, what Christ has done for you. And we have this opportunity to put a hand on someone else's life and say, let me get that. Let me show you a way, a good way, a better way. Let me tell you about the person who has cleaned the slate of my life in my heart and made a difference in my life. So, going forward, I want to talk to you about, not today, I'm going to finish up, but going forward, I want to talk to you about a subject of having skin in the game and what that means. God has done so much for us. He has invested so much in our lives, and we have an opportunity to reinvest. To reinvest. To take the capital that God has given us in our lives and to put it into the exchange and invest it in other people's lives. And in order to do that, we need to have skin in the game. And we'll talk about that more in the weeks to come. But it's all about taking what God has given you and applying it in the lives of others. You do that and you watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. I don't know how, where, when, but he will do it if we just go forward with that attitude, that mindset. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, you know the times that we have. Our lives are before you. Lord, I pray, oh God, would you make us aware? Oh, Lord, I don't know what we need, what hand needs to be placed on us to be made aware, but oh God, make us more aware of your great love, your promises to us, the touch on our lives, the freedom that we now have because of your forgiveness in our lives. Lord, help us to go forward and be people who embrace others. And when we see them, may we be thinking that this is an opportunity for us to pay into the debt of continually loving others so that we might see good things take place in and through our lives and in the lives of others. Father, help us. In Christ's name we pray. Help us. Amen. God Almighty.
who was and is to come, who was and is to come, lift up his name with the sound of singing, lift up his name in all the earth, lift up your voice and give him glory, for he is worthy to be praised. Lift up his name with the sound of singing, lift up his name in all the earth, lift up your voice and give him glory, for he is worthy to be praised, for he is worthy to be praised, for he is worthy to be praised.
Amen. May the Lord remind you how much he's forgiven your debt and fill you with opportunities this week to touch the heart and life of someone else that comes across your path. It's not an accident. God bless you. Go in peace.